There has been such a strong prophetic atmosphere this morning. It was at the 909. It was been in worship. And I think that when we're in an atmosphere like that, as we see biblically, it affects people. I hope that you are here with an expectation of being touched by the Holy Spirit. I hope that you are here with an expectation that something is going to change, that there's going to be something inside of you because of what's around you that is going to change today. That is my declaration. That is my faith. It's good to see you, Ryan. Gosh, it is such a privilege. My name is Don, and it's my honor to be here this morning. And there are some people that I really would like to honor. If Benaya and Sarayla would please stand up. You guys probably don't know Benaya and Sarayla, but Benaya was a part of the original church plant to Honduras. He left everything here to go down to Honduras with us. He was there from the very beginning. And I don't know if y'all know this, but I'm a pretty good matchmaker because I met this beautiful lady named Sarayla, and I'm like, Benaya, you got to meet this girl. And they did, and as they say, the rest is history. So Sarayla faithfully translated. We had a bilingual church in Honduras, and so I would keep her on her toes. Sometimes I would speak in Spanish, and she'd have to jump to English. Sometimes it was English, and she'd jump to Spanish. But hundreds of sermons, they both so faithfully served in Honduras. Can we honor them? Thank you. I love you guys. After their time in Honduras, Benaya joined the army. He's now serving our country. And I couldn't be more proud of you. I couldn't be more proud. Dang it. I told them. I'm like, I'm feeling the weeping anointing today. So there it is. Thank you. Come on. Anyway, we are starting a new sermon series today. Pastor J.O. was here preaching last night, and I would encourage you, now that we have two campuses, you know, we have two different sermons, same theme, but the person preaching just brings heart and their different perspective. And last night, J.O. preached a very different message than what I'm going to preach, but there's still threads that are through it. And I would just encourage you to go and listen to the sermon. It was so powerful. The sermon series is called Road to the Cross. My sermon title is Via the Road to Emmaus. And so we're actually going to look at that account, but I'm actually going to like jump off the page a little bit today. I really feel like that God wants to minister to you. As much as he wants to challenge you today, and I hope that it does challenge you, I believe that God also desires to minister to you, to comfort you, and to reassure you. So let me set the stage for Via the Road to Emmaus. It is Sunday. Jesus died 3 days before, and the disciples are gathered together. The ladies run to the tomb, find it empty, and they're like, what is happening? And then these two men who were angels say, don't you remember that Christ must suffer and then be raised from the dead and glorified? And so these ladies ran back to the guys, and they're like, guys, Jesus wasn't there, but these angels told us he's alive. And they're like, nah, we don't believe y'all. So this is where we find ourselves. We are that day, later in the day, and we're going to pick up the account in the book of Luke, Luke 24. Before we do that, I'm going to pray. So get your Bible out, get to Luke 24. God, thank you so much for the privilege it is to be able to be in the house of the Lord this morning, the privilege that it is to be able to share what I believe you put on my heart for your people at this moment in time. God, as we approach a season that changed the history of the world, I pray that we would be those that would engage in what it is that you're doing on the earth. God, I pray that today your word would both challenge and minister to your sons and your daughters in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Luke 24, verse 13. That very day, two disciples, were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" I can just imagine it, like they're like, you know, kind of like Eeyore, they're just sad and they're walking. And then Jesus comes along and he asks this question and they're like, "What?" Like they literally stop in their tracks. They are so shocked by what he just asked them that they're like flabbergasted. So, and they stood still looking sad. Then one of them named Cleopas answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" He's like, "Bro, you living under a rock?" Everybody in Jerusalem knew what had happened. This was not some secret just among a small group of people. The whole city was in an uproar over what had happened. This was big news, current events. Jesus is what I just, this is such an amazing account. I think that we can learn so much from what, if we take this as just a story, as just a historical account, we can miss the point. Jesus, two of his disciples, he'd been doing life with them. They were sad, disappointed, frustrated, upset, didn't know what the future would hold. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes along beside them. I just want you to know, Jesus desires to come alongside of you. Oftentimes you don't recognize him either. It may be that it's because it's a brother or a sister. It may be that it comes in the form of a prophetic word. It may be that it comes from a sermon that you hear. But Jesus desires to come beside you as you walk. He knows what you need when you need it. Now you think you need $1 million. And Jesus says, "No, you just need a word. You just need a word. Because the word will give you what you need. That $1 million will ruin you. But the word of God will bring life. And life to the full." That's what Jesus came to give. I love how Jesus asks them a question. Right? Right? Do you remember back in the garden? God's like, "Hey, Adam and Eve, where y'all at?" It was just like that too. If you go back to the Hebrew, it's just like that. God often asks questions of us, not because he doesn't know the answer, but because it reveals the condition of our hearts and the state of our faith. To these two, what are you guys talking about? Now, I think it's easy for us to sit in judgment of them because we know the rest of the story. We know it's Jesus. We're like, "Hey, guys, that's actually Jesus." But here's the thing. I think that we create a God in the image of what we desire an outcome to be. And so when God doesn't show up that way, all of a sudden we're sad and disappointed and we feel like God has failed us. And he's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. You created a God in your own image or in the image of what you want, some fantasy life that you think it's going to be like being a believer, being a follower of Jesus. That is not who I am. Don't blame me when your false God doesn't live up to your expectation." That's what Jesus is dealing with here, right? So when God doesn't, you know, just spit money out of the ATM machine, when God doesn't just pave a yellow brick road in front of us, don't blame God. I mean, the reality is if you read your Bible, you understand that following Jesus is hazardous to your health. I mean, you're gonna get eternal life. You're gonna be blessed, but it can be hazardous to your health. Just ask Stephen, the first martyr. But you know what he did? He looked up and he beheld Jesus standing. Sometimes in order for us to really see Jesus, we gotta be really desperate. We gotta really be in a bad place. Now these guys, they could have heard the words of Jesus and they could have said, no, I've heard this before. Didn't pan out. Wasn't what I thought it was gonna be. I want my money back. But Jesus, he doesn't give up that easy. Let's see what it says, 24, 19. And he said to them, what things? I'm sure he was like, bro, what things? What are y'all talking about? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, they get really chatty with this stranger. Besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who had said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women said, but him they did not see. See, their response actually says a lot about who they thought Jesus was. Do you remember when Jesus asked Peter, who do you say that I am? Chantel, it does not matter what anybody else says about Jesus. Who do you say that he is? They said he was a prophet, which is true, but that was not the fullness of who he was. They never actually acknowledged him as the Messiah. Do you notice that? They had hoped, but they didn't trust. You can hope all day long, but if you are not rooted and grounded in truth, then your response will be like them. You're gonna live in a constant state of disappointment and just hoping that this whole Christian thing pans out in the end. That is not your portion. That is not the children's inheritance. Our inheritance is life and life more than abundantly. No, that means something different to a believer. Yvonne, will you come up here, please? Everybody, Yvonne Walden. You probably know her and love her. Sweet. Would you say that you have life and life more than abundantly?
My life floweth over.
Amen.
It's more than abundant.
And yet, recently, there was a tragic event that rocked your family.
Rocked, yep. Shaken, but not fallen down, you know?
So unless, if you don't know, her daughter on vacation in Hawaii passed away. And when we found out, I think our hearts broke for you guys.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that you were shocked.
Yeah.
Disappointed, frustrated, maybe even angry at God.
Yeah.
What did you guys do? What was your response in that situation?
You know, the first thing, honestly, I wanted to do was get on my face and praise the Lord. Because at his feet, all this stuff, other stuff doesn't exist. The whys, the anger, the why my kid, you know, the things that aren't going to happen. When you're praising the Lord, that falls away. And he has her. He has her. And the things that hurt her, this world, hurt her. Her, you know, she had anxiety, depression, but she had given her life to the Lord. And so that's where she is. She was a little teeny baby Christian, you guys. And you know how merciful our God is? He loves babies. He loves children. He has so much mercy in her just seeking him in her baby ways, you know, that now I don't worry about her anymore because the creator of heaven and earth holds her. And he also holds me and he holds all of us too. And if you want to be safe, if you want to let all those other things fall away, get by his feet, get on your face, cling to him. That's where I want to be. That was the first day, truly, that's all I wanted to do was praise him. I didn't have answers, anything. I didn't even know what happened. I just knew that, you know, to be not in your body is to be with the Lord and praise the Lord.
So you're saying that the safest place to be is right next to Jesus?
Cling, put your fingers tight to his cloak.
Amen.
Every single day, like if even when I'm like sitting in a puddle, you guys, because that happens, I'm human, shaking, like my guts shake. I feel him. I say, Lord, okay, you said you were close to me. I'm brokenhearted. You said you're close. Amen. And he is. And he sits with you in it.
Amen.
So, yep.
Can we show some love to Yvonne and Robbie?
Oh, thank you.
We always have a choice. We always have a choice. Thank you, Yvonne. I think that the word that God had for Jamie, that healing is found in worship, Yvonne's word that healing and peace is found clinging to Jesus, I think God is trying to speak something to us today. In a world that is out of control, out of my control, which I like to control things, that's just my personality, which is one of the reasons, honestly, why God sent me to Honduras. Because I couldn't control nothing down there. We go to church and there's no power, but we need power. God was like, oh, this is going to be fun. Watch what I do. God's like, son, you just need faith. You can't administrate nothing down here. You just need faith. You just need faith, son. You know, I came to realize about halfway through my time in Honduras, it had nothing to do with what God called me to do down there. It was a trick. He needed to get me out of a comfortable place where I was confident in my ability, an ability that he gave me, mind you. And then he sent me to Honduras and he got me uncomfortable. And he said, you don't need to be able to administrate. You need faith now, right? Different season, different tools. And then I came to realize, oh, this was an act of love. You calling me to Honduras because you desired to minister to me. You needed to get me in an uncomfortable place so you could do some deep work in me. And oh, by the way, while I'm doing that, I'm going to have you do some cool stuff as well. Understand, when we go through trials, fiery trials, when we go through tribulations, which by the way are promised, congratulations. That's the package you signed up for. Have you guys seen that meme where the guy's like on the phone? He's like, I'm just calling God to make sure I get signed up for the joy and blessing package and not the trial and tribulation like last year. Come on. Oh, I got some witnesses up in this house. Luke 24, verse 25. And he said to them, oh, foolish ones. And slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, I imagine if I called Daniel, I'm like, you foolish one. He'd be like, bro, I'm offended. Here's the thing. It really is more like, you're just a little dull right now, Daniel. Now, I don't know that that's really any better, but Here's the thing. It was definitely not a compliment. It was meant as a rebuke. I think that it's right for God to expect faith from us. I think it's right for God to expect us to know his word and to believe his word and to believe that he is good. I don't think it should surprise us when we get rebuked for not believing the word of God. We do not like the word reprove. It sounds very Christian-y, and we don't like it. But if you break that word down, it simply means to reprove a truth that at one time we believed. Yes. I'm just reproving to you that the word of God is faithful. Joe, I'm reproving to you a truth that you once believed and cling to and held fast to that somehow or another through life you have let go of. I'm simply reproving something that you already, sharing something the first time, I'm proving truth. If I'm sharing it the second time because you let go of it, Heather, I am reproving that God is faithful to you. Because you're blonde? Did you just say it because you're blonde? Oh, come on. Come on, Jesus. Understand that reproof is actually an immense act of love. It means, Heather, I love you enough that I'm not going to continue to let you walk away. When Jesus is walking this way and you're going that way, I'm going to reprove to you the truth that you once held dear to, that you once knew. I think it's an incredible act of love. It's uncomfortable to go up to somebody and say, Andrew, bro, we need to have a talk. Things aren't going well. It's uncomfortable, but I love Andrew, and so I'm going to be uncomfortable for his sake. It's not for me. I'd rather not, thank you very much. But I love him enough that I'm going to be uncomfortable and I'm going to make him uncomfortable. Do you think that these guys liked being called foolish ones? Probably not. And yet, Jesus, on this almost 3-hour walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus, opens up the scripture. And you know what? You can't argue with truth. They didn't know who this guy was. They didn't know what seminary school he went to. Rabbi so-and-so was his professor. They didn't know anything, but they knew the truth when they heard it. You know how I know that? Because if you go to the end of the story, it says, did not our hearts burn inside of us? I tell you what, truth will cause a visceral response in your body, in your brain, in your soul. You will know truth when you hear it. Truth is alive. The word of God is alive. It's living. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Yeah, sometimes it's going to draw blood. But you know what? God will heal you. I just want you to know that the word of God, remember how in John it says that the word became flesh? You were like, man, Don, if I had sat at Jesus' feet for 3.5 years, I wouldn't doubt like they did. So I just want to make a point that you guys actually have the entire word of God in paper form, in electronic form, in whatever form you like. Don't tell me that if you heard it from Jesus, you'd believe it, because you heard it from Jesus and you're still struggling in your faith. I love you immensely. This is uncomfortable for me too. Jesus, the road to the cross, it was a road full of suffering. It was a road of loneliness. I just want you to know that if you're suffering today, I think that looks a lot like Jesus. Jesus in the garden, crying out to God. You know, the interesting thing about that, if you read through that, the first time he prays, he's like, God, if it's possible, there's like this hint of hope. If it's possible, let this cup pass. I mean, he's really hoping. You know why? Because he knew the scriptures. He knew that Isaiah 53 said, he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, Isaiah 53, 4 through 6. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. And we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Don't tell me you don't go your own way. Bible says you do. I know you because I know me. I know me. I know my flesh. My flesh is selfish. It's lazy. It likes being comfortable. You know, grace didn't cost you anything, but it cost God everything. Don't forget that. When you just decide to turn off your faith like a light switch and you turn it off because it's easy, just remember, it wasn't easy for Jesus, but he did it anyway. You know what? He's on this walk with them. I love this idea. He's on this walk with them in his resurrected body. It was that very day. He's like, whoa, this feels good. I like this new body. Right? No aches, no pains. I doubt he did that, but if so, I'm like, I want the upgrade, the one that doesn't wobble. But he's talking to them, revealing the scriptures about something that was a prophecy that was yet to be, and he's talking about it in the past tense because he is the fulfillment of every single one of those prophecies. When you're on the other side of victory, oh, you tell a different story. Jess, will you come up here for a minute? Y'all, Holy Spirit told me last night I'm going to hijack your sermon. So none of this is planned. Everybody, Jessica Brown. Jessica, in your pursuit of God, I think people can look at you and Craig and your family from the outside and man, like hashtag blessed, right? Look at what they're doing, all of these things, amazing career, amazing family, amazing ministry. And yet, when you're in the middle of suffering and struggle, it can feel hopeless. Now, I know that to a large extent, you're on this side. You're here in a place of victory. But I would love for you to share with people what it really means sometimes following Jesus.
I'm so glad that you asked me, because one thing that I hear a lot from people is that they're like, Jess, you're so happy all the time. You're so joyful. You have such a cheerful disposition. And all of that is so true of me. But what people don't realize is that my joy and my cheerful disposition was birthed from incredible pain, suffering, and trauma when I was her age. I recently had one of my girlfriends text me and say, I was really scared to call you during my panic attack because I thought that you might think I was crazy. And I literally laughed out loud. It's like, that couldn't be further from the truth, because I have been in the throes of mental illness, with my head in a bag, feeling like I might be dying because my brain was somewhere else. And I thought, how funny that someone would say, I didn't call you because I thought you might think I was crazy. I'm like, you're talking to Chief Crazy if I'm all right here. I have suffered some of the strangest mental illnesses. You've got your garden variety, anxiety, depression, but then you have some weird ones, you know, like pulling your hair out and OCD. those are the places, you guys, where my joy and my cheerful disposition were birthed of those places. And when I was 13 and 14 years old, gosh, I don't usually shake up, but this is personal. I used to read Lamentations as a teenager and think of myself as like a trampled Jerusalem, that I had been conquered and crushed and my temple had been crushed. And I used to think of myself as the scriptures of Lamentations and think, okay, God, this is my lot in life. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. And so, the crazy thing is that I'm on this side of victory, and of course I have my moments, but I'm not that. But my empathy and my compassion, when I see people suffering, all strangeness of ailments, all mental illnesses that nobody talks about and nobody wants to confess that they've struggled with, I have zero judgment. And my empathy is so high that when someone calls me with a panic attack, what an honor. What an honor that God showed me how to manage a panic attack so I can now walk his daughters through panic attacks. So if you're in a place of suffering today, or you are that young person, or you're that person who's now almost my age and you're still suffering, I want you to know that there is purpose. I don't even know who I would be without that suffering. I might be some, I can't even imagine. But I am humble, and I am so empathetic, and I am very non-judgmental because of where I came from. So don't push away your pain. Don't pretend like it's not there. You walk through it, but call to mind the hope that is Jesus Christ. It says call to mind. It doesn't pop in our minds. We have to actively call these things to our minds. So if you're in the throes of suffering, you call to mind the hope that is in Jesus Christ. Know that you will not stay there, but if you are there, it is not evidence that you have failed in some way. That 13-year-old girl, that was me, weeping. I thought I did something terribly wrong to inherit all these weird ailments. And on this side, I think, wow, God, thank you for allowing me to suffer so I can now walk your daughters through their suffering.
Can we show Jessica some love, please? The road to the cross for Jesus is a different road for us. He was like a pioneer. He went ahead of us. He created a road that may involve suffering, will involve fiery trials, but he did all the heavy lifting. He did all the hard work. Isaiah 53:10, do you ever wonder why? Why? Why did Jesus have to do that? Isaiah 53:10, yet it was the will of God, the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. That's us. And he shall bear our iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. And he's still doing that today. At the right hand of God, it says he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. Just because Jesus isn't here in the flesh does not mean that you are alone. First off, he said, I'm not gonna leave you as orphans. I'm sending the Holy Spirit. It's to your advantage that I go, he said. It's to your advantage that I go, he said. So not only now do you have Holy Spirit inside of you, but you still have Jesus in heaven making intercession for you. You are not alone. He did not leave you alone. You have not been abandoned. You have not been rejected. In fact, you have been chosen. Stop believing the lies of the enemy. You are not rejected. Your heavenly Father said, you're mine. I know you by name. Daniel, I know how many hairs you have on your head, which is many more than I have. But no, it's cool. That's cool. It's fine. I've got a beard. Jesus interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You know what? I think it's possible to learn a lot more about Jesus. I just want to know if you have an appetite for that. Because those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Bible says that you will be filled. I want to know, what does your Word of God bank account look like today? If you need to make a withdrawal from the Word of God in your soul, can you do that today? Or is your account overdrawn because you have not been making deposits? You say, I want to know Jesus. Are you depositing the Word of God into your soul, into your mind? Because can you imagine having been Jesus in the wilderness and Satan comes to him and tempts him? Jesus, like, crap. Like, what? There was that one verse about the thing with the thing, and it says, I can this. No, Jesus says, it is written. It is written, and then he quoted scripture. Your greatest weapon is a sharp two-edged sword that is alive and powerful. You want to know the best way to not be deceived? Know the truth. There's a lot of cheap imitations out there. Jesus revealed himself to these guys. I love it. And then he just vanishes out of their presence. Listen, it was dangerous. It was nighttime. It was 3 hours from Emmaus back to Jerusalem. But verse 32 says, they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour immediately and they returned to Jerusalem. They had told Jesus, hey, stay and eat with us. It's too dangerous out there. Don't go out there. It's dark. And yet, when they encountered Jesus, the good news, do you know what their response was? No matter what, no matter what, I'm gonna keep going. No matter what, I'm gonna press in. Yvonne, their response was, I have to tell people about this. I have to tell people about Jesus. I have to tell people about the good news. I have to tell people about what he did. I believe that there are people in this room right now, and I believe that your heart is burning. Now, maybe you've never accepted Jesus. Or maybe you're like these two. Yeah, I've heard it all before. And then you're disappointed. And you're like, I don't even know why I'm here today. I don't even know if I believe in this stuff. You've been set up. I believe that God has you here for a reason, because he desires, like Jesus did, to walk beside you once again.